without being so repressive, you're basically trying to deny access to information technology to preserve autocracy.
You know, we talk about governments. I would start with the companies. So let's take example of the search engines companies. When we search something and ask for a question and we get it, we are very pleased because we got the answer and we are even not being asked to pay for it. So we look at the search engine companies or platforms and we're saying, those are great guys. We forget that there are two things. We forget that what motivates or positions the result of the search on the top is going to be advertising or it's going to be algorithms. And the algorithms that are looking for the information are not based on accuracy. They're based on popularism. They're saying, where is the most interesting site that most of the people visit? And that's what brings it to the top of the search. It's like taking the tabloids and turning it to the front page of the Wall Street Journal. So it begins with the companies. Why can't we have a credibility bar near every result of search? And you're going to say, okay, this information comes because it was written by a great blogger, or it was written by a 15-year-old person, or it was written by a very serious person. Why don't we have it on when we buy food, we have the ingredients on the food. When we go to see a movie, we have rating.
Who puts that credibility bar in? I mean, would you want to see the internet regulated?
Well, the fact that it hasn't been explains one of the reasons it's grown like crazy. Even regulators wind up having their own interests at stake.
Is there a role for government in terms of ensuring that the information out there is accurate and someone cannot just hurt someone else through their reputation by attacking them with stories?
Well, I think it would be a legitimate thing to do, but if you wanted to do it, for example, you wanted to set up some sort of agency that would be a ring the bell, you know, are on heavily visited sites, this allegation has been made and here are the facts. If the government were involved, I think you'd have to do two things. Or if you had a multinational group like the UN, I think number one, you'd have to be totally transparent about where the money came from. Mm-hmm. And number two, you would have to make it independent. It would have to be like an independent, let's say the US did, it would have to be an independent federal agency that no president could countermand or anything else, because people wouldn't think that you were just censoring the news and giving a different falsehood out. That is, it would be like, I don't know, National Public Radio or BBC or something like that, except it would have to be really independent and they would not express opinions and their mandate would be narrowly confined to identifying relevant factual errors. And also, they would also have to have citations so that they could be checked in case they made a mistake. Somebody needs to be doing it, and maybe it's a worthy expenditure of taxpayer money, but if it's a government agency in a traditional sense, it would have no credibility whatever, particularly with a lot of the people who are most active on the internet.
Compare what's gone on a government level, what we've seen in terms of uprising, to corporate situations. What's a company to do?
First, to be able to start looking at prediction in a much more serious way, in a much more specific way. I have to see where my investments are. I have to see where my franchises are, where my branches are, to be able to see what's happening over there, to be able to predict a much more deep way. What does that mean? The internet, for instance, became today the place that we all use to talk. Start using very strong technologies that we're offering, for instance, for our customers, for what we call deep internet, to look for the open blogs that are talking about your company, about what people feel about your company. They are sharing it today over the internet. You just have to find it. They're keeping it as an open discussion.
Aren't we doing that already?
No, most of us don't do it that way. And then it's not enough about technology. I mean, one of the concepts that we as a company made is that we need human representatives on the ground. We have 120 countries and 900 cities around the world where we have people over there who validate the information that we see in the internet. So when we come to a CEO and we tell him, you have a problem over there, we can validate it not only from what he sees in the internet, but also what the people on the ground are telling us. Because it's very interesting. Once we all believed in human intelligence, and then it didn't work, so then we moved to algorithms, and then that doesn't work, and the idea is right now to combine all this information.
I believe, actually, that there's a good analog between what countries have to do and what companies have to do. And I think, just like I said before, I think there's some positive and some negative about this, which you said. For example, the most negative likely threat for corporations is just a disgruntled somebody in a country you operate in who's mad and puts a bad story out, or more likely someone who shorted the stock who wants people to think terrible things have happened, or someone who is invested who creates some cock and bull story that's not true about how, you know, unlimited riches are about to shower down on this company, and then the stock goes up and they get out before the facts are out. I think renegade shareholders or would-be shareholders are the most likely abusers of this.
Mm-hmm. What about the cost of this? I mean, I guess there are two angles on that. The cost of not doing anything on a corporate or a country level, and the cost of putting the protective measures in place to ensure that you are secure.
It's going to cost. The danger of attack on cyber is something that we still don't really understand how big it can be, because all our life right now is in a cyber. I mean, take a small thing. Imagine, God forbid, an attack, not on something big like banks or like nuclear facilities, just attacking your system of blood supply. And now you don't know which blood, what type it is. You stopped. You can destroy a country that way.
For countries, the relative cost of that will not be so great if it protects you, God forbid, against, you know, something literally being wiped out. I mean, you could imagine how somebody would try to wipe our history out or rewrite our history or whatever. You just have to, you got to have some fail safes.
And that's, by the way, part of the contingency plan that we're giving to some of the companies, which is just what you're saying. We're telling them, you have to learn how to work also without a cyber.
People are worried about the standing of America today. We see China growing as fast as it is, and India growing as fast as it is. Is America losing its momentum?
Yes, but